So anyway, last week we talked about Leonardo da Vinci and what a wonderful, brilliant man this was. Remember what his problem was? Follow through. He had such great ideas, he would write them down and then he would be off thinking about soup. And then he'd never return to it. So our job is to get the great ideas and follow through with them. I thought, this week, who would be fun to talk about? So I decided to talk about his rival. Michelangelo, Buonarroti, Simone. Like Madonna, he goes by his first name. Michelangelo. Or as I heard my whole life, Michelangelo. Michael, yes. Michelangelo is considered to be arguably the greatest artist of all time. In 1475, Michelangelo was born in a very small town in Italy, where his father was a minor bureaucrat, and when he was 10, his father moved the family to Florence, where Michelangelo found that he was in the right place at the right time. All these wonderful artists showing up in Florence at that time was no mistake. You being here at this time is no mistake. Your soul chose to be here for a divine, for a specific purpose. So never think that you're a big cosmic accident just plopped here on the planet. No, you were here by divine appointment, as Michelangelo was in Florence at that time. He studied with the best artists in town. Immediately they knew this guy had something really wonderful. And he developed his talent. One day in his 20s, a contemporary of his, Donatello, received a huge block of marble. But he decided that the marble was too flawed and cracked to be of any use to him. So he told the movers to take it back. But movers being who they are, and remember back then, this was a big piece of marble. It wasn't as if they could throw it in the truck. So they were going, what do? We got 3 tons of marble to bring all the way back to the quarry. So they said, let's give it to Michelangelo. Because he was a little absent-minded and always somewhere else, so distracted by his work, they figured he will not remember that he didn't order it. So they brought it to him. He looked at it. He saw the same flaws and the same cracks, but he thought of it as an artistic challenge rather than as a problem. So he kept it. And he took with that marble and he created what is now considered to be the most beautiful statue ever, David. David was created out of a flawed, less than perfect rock. Have you been there? Anybody? It's astonishing. I thought it was, when you see the pictures, you think, oh, it's about as tall as I. No, this thing is huge. And it's breathtaking. When you walk in, this thing is breathtaking. The art is just astonishing. Now, Da Vinci and Michelangelo were contemporaries, and they were pretty ego-driven, as a lot of artists are, when it came to their reputations and their commissions. Whereas Da Vinci was a scientist, leaving volumes of notes on his creations and life on the outer and what he was doing and what he was creating and drawings, he left very little information about himself as an artist. Michelangelo wrote in detail about his life, and he wrote in detail particularly about the creative process. In the early 1500s, Pope Julius II called Michelangelo to Rome to paint the Sistine Chapel. You remember last week I said that Da Vinci wasn't even called to audition for it. He said, you're too flighty. You won't show up. You don't follow through. So we're not even going to consider you for it. So they hired Michelangelo for it, but he didn't want to do it. He went, oh God, painting. I mean, he was a brilliant painter, but he didn't like to do it that much. He was the sculptor. He considered himself a sculptor. So 6,000 square feet, and 4 years later, he said, I did this for 2 reasons. Number one, to show I could, and number two, for the glory of God. But it wasn't a wonderful time for him. You know, as amazing as the thing turned out, the Pope didn't pay him for a year. He was a producer. He did not pay this guy for a year. Where's my money? And legend aside, he did not he was not on his back doing it. He was standing the whole time, but his head was back, and it hurt the nerves in his neck, and his eyesight was permanently damaged from it. Made him very cranky. He was a cranky guy anyway. This made him really, really cranky. So cranky that when the Pope bugged him one too many times about, when are you going to be finished? He said, I'll be finished when I'm finished. The Pope then punched him. Drama, really. So Michelangelo, you know, ego, he threatened to leave Rome, and the Pope kind of sort of apologized for it, and finally he paid him, which makes any artist happy. So he said, okay, I'll continue. When he was 37, he, with the unveiling of the Sistine Chapel, people were simply blown away by it, and his new name became the Divine Artist. He continued to create great works of art through his whole life. And when he was in his 60s, he created the dome for the St. Peter's Basilica. And at 89, when he passed on at 89, he was working on his second Pietà. Can you imagine? Elaine Sturge was 89. Imagine her working on a Pietà. Astonishing. 4 years after his passing, the artist Vasari said, Michelangelo had the perfect mastery that God had granted no other person. God had granted no other person this talent. But for all that talent that he had, he was tremendously unhappy. He was not a happy person. He said he would have been better off making matches. He would have had a better life if he simply was doing something very easy and simple. That he wouldn't have been so distressed. He wouldn't have been so unhappy. That his work, that his painting and his carving had been his ruination. He said, this art has destroyed my life. So why are we looking at this man, you may be asking? What? This seems to be a very kind of non-unity type of individual or example to me. Well, but he is. He really and truly is. For all the challenges Michelangelo had to do with his ego, and who among us does not have an occasional challenge with the ego, he had a very clear and powerful realization that his gift was from God. He truly knew that he was a man of faith. He really knew that what he had was from God. It was a burden to him sometimes. Sometimes the greater the talent, the more, wow, what do I do with this? How do I work with this? He once said, good art is but a replica of the perfection of God and a reflection of his art. He said, this is all about God. Everything that I'm putting out here is God working through me. His main challenge in life was that he was unbalanced in his life choices. He was not making the same wonderful decisions about his art, about his painting, about his sculpture as he was the rest of the time. His art was so close to perfection because his faith, he had a really true deep faith. He was a follower of the religious fanatic Savonarola, who did not come to a very happy end. But he was so deeply in love with God that he couldn't put out art fast enough to glorify God. A woman once visited his studio and remarked after watching him for a while, I never knew sculpting was so easy. I could do that. And Michelangelo said, of course you could. All you need is a block of marble, a hammer, and a chisel, and then you just knock off the marble that you don't want. She went, oh, okay. That's easy. Sure. But he did comment one time that when he was removing marble from the stone, it was revealed to him by God, by Spirit, step by step, what marble he was to remove. He said it was like hearing someone within him telling him, go here, do this, only a little bit here, take a whole bunch off here. He said it was a vast intelligence guiding him in his process. He said it took over his hands. He knew what to do inside of himself. That the piece itself was revealing to him what to remove and what to leave. Now that's the secret to the divine artistry of Michelangelo, and it's also the secret to your success in life. This is the great lesson he left with us for our healing, for success, for prosperity, for love, and for joy, for every good that we desire. He had difficulty in his personal life. He was passionately in love with a young artist who did not return the favor. And being gay back then could have gotten you killed, which also added to the stress he was going through. So with his personal life not working in the way that he wanted to, with his art taking all of his energy, he was just feeling a bit unbalanced. But something in him created the sensual, elegant, life-affirming creations in spite of his own ego, fears, and doubts. He poured all of his energy into his art that when you are there in person with it, it's breathtaking, truly breathtaking, even today, even centuries later. But the lesson we can benefit from that Michelangelo couldn't fully integrate into his own life is that we have to eliminate from our lives that which is not for our highest and best. You've got to take away what is not you. You've got to remove from this wonderful divine being the years and decades that you have glommed onto yourself that is not you and is getting in the way of you having the life that you'd like to have. So what in your life are you holding on to? What in your life are you not eliminating that you're carrying as a burden? Think about it for a moment. Are you in a relationship that quit being loving or caring years ago? That just doesn't work, but you're there because, well, it's just easier to stay. Or you've had a friendship that doesn't work for you anymore, but you keep the person around. I've known them for such a long time. Or somebody in your family that you go to on the holidays or you feel obligated to go to just because they're family, but they don't honor you. They don't affirm the good in you. Are you in a job that you hate, that you despise, that you feel sick when you have to get up in the morning and go to? Because it has great benefits. Or because you're retiring in a few years anyway, you might as well hang on for another 10. Because I can't do anything else. Because I'd love to do something else, but I just don't have the courage to go out there and do it. Are you not living the life that you would love to have, the one that occupies your daydreams and your night dreams, perhaps? Because your health won't allow you to do it, because you don't have the money to do it, because you have responsibilities, because you're afraid to do it. You're afraid to try the dream that God gave you, that God has waiting for you, yet you're still afraid that it won't work. If you aren't living your life to the fullest, then we're like a big block of flawed and cracked marble. We're just sitting there taking up space, not doing the life that we came to do, the life that you planned before getting here. See, over there, we don't remember that when we're here. We have divine amnesia so we can get on with it. But over there, you looked and went, I can do that, no problem. That's easy. I've got it working me. What's the problem? We get here, we forget God. We forget we're divine. We think we're merely human. We don't know we have all this help, all of this wonderful life to live that we planned a long time ago. So now we're just a lump of rock sitting there moving just enough to get by. Just enough to make a living, just enough to get through the year, through the month, through the weekend. We become living fossils when we're not living through a God-infused life. Existing day to day, but basically dead inside. The thing we have to do is get rid of the dead weight that we've been carrying around with us. Let go of that, the thoughts, the feelings, the beliefs that you're holding, the words you keep speaking all the time, the actions you take that don't agree with God. Cut off that which is not David or Betty or Jean Marie or Dolores Emma or you. Cut it out, let it go, knock it off, and get on with a life that you're here to live. Okay, so I have a 3-point plan I want you to work with this week. It's not that hard, it's only 3. I want you to write this down because I'm going to ask you next week. Unity is an educational system. We're here to educate ourselves. Educare means to draw forth, not to implant in you, but to draw forth what you know is already there. So I'm not telling you anything your soul does not know. So these three-point plans will move you closer to being the success, to letting go that which is not you in your life. Okay, so the first one is the easier one. I say that thinking it may be easier, but it may be the hardest one of all. Number one is clean your room. I don't care, pick a room. Do it today, because you know the weather's really great today. It's like Cape Cod. It's not hot, it's not muggy. So today you're going to pick one room, whether it's this afternoon or this evening. You know when to do it. God is revealing within the time for you to do it. Or if you have lunch, then you go to a movie, then you go home and clean. Or you go home and clean, then you have lunch. Wait, let God reveal it. Pick one room, the kitchen, the bedroom, bathroom. Doesn't matter. You're going to clean one room. You're going to throw out stuff you have not used, say, in 2 years. Unless it's valuable, like an antique or something, you get to keep those. But what are you not using? What is clogging you up? What every time you walk by do you knock over or trip over? Get rid of it. Give it to Goodwill. Give it to a friend. Just get rid of it. In Unity, we have one of the 12 powers that we believe that we have is we have a system called the 12 powers of humankind. Charles Fillmore came up with a system. We have divine love, we have order, wisdom. Elimination is one of your powers, one of your faculties, to release from your life what does not work anymore. Imagine if we could not release from the body what we release from the body. You would be this big. So our bodies know, the body is intelligent, knows it has to release, has to let go. Our cells are always dying off old cells and creating new ones. So within us, we know what we need to do. Outside is more of a challenge. So today, you're going to clean one room. Let it go. Begin to create the good that you want by getting rid of things you don't need. If you feel so inspired, clean the whole apartment. Let God be your guide. Okay, that's number one. Number two, this week, and I'll be calling you at home to inquire, I want you to begin a project you have been putting off for the last 5, 10, 20, 50 years. What project have you really wanted to get into? Have you really wanted to just go there and enjoy, but you've been afraid, you think you don't have the money, whatever excuses you've come up with. You know what it is. Writing that book. Taking that cooking class. Studying Italian. You know what you've been longing to do, but just keep putting off. Redoing your resume, painting your house, electrolysis on that place you don't talk about. Commit today that you're going to begin the process this week and pick a day. Pick a day and a time. That's the way we do it. Not say, I will begin it this week. That is not good enough. You have to say Monday at noon or Tuesday at 7 p.m. That is the day, that is the time you begin your divine dream and let it come forth. Now, do you agree with me that you will move forward with the good you've been putting off for too long this week?
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Okay, three times.
Yes.
Oh, well, it's four times now. Thank you. So years ago, when I was in Italy, I learned that it's a crime and you have to pay a fine if you lie to the clergy. So I will be expecting your fee next week if you do not begin this.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Okay, number three, take a breath. Let go. Okay, this week, this is maybe the hardest one of all. This week, you are going to forgive yourself. Forgive you for whatever you've done. Now, if you've been in Unity for a while, I've already done that. That's old news. No, it isn't. We need to do it over and over and over again. Maybe not for the same thing, but there's something inside of you that we need to let go of, something that I've done, something when you think about it, it just brings shame or embarrassment or self-hatred. We all have something within ourselves that we just feel so awful about, something I may have done to another person inadvertently or because we were so ignorant. Forgiveness is an ongoing process that never, ever ends. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, said, you can every day find somebody in meditation to forgive. This week is going to be you. You've got to let yourself off the hook. You've never done anything so bad that God has condemned you. Your Creator has never condemned you. It's only been you. It's only you who has condemned yourself. So this week, we're going to let yourself off the hook. The more you do it, it gets easier, it gets lighter, it gets more comfortable, but the process never ends. That's why Jesus said 70 times 7, we have to forgive even one person. Some translations say 70 times 70, times 70, over and over and over until it happens. There was a university in Richmond, Virginia. They discovered that not forgiving, having an unforgiving heart, increases your heart rate, raises your blood pressure, makes you more depressed and anxious, and literally being unforgiving makes us sick. If there's no other reason to forgive, is to get your health back. But this week I want you to focus on you. What have you done that's so awful? Nothing. Nothing. As cleaning out physically helps to create divine order in our homes and in our world, as starting a project we really want to do keeps divine order moving forward in our lives, forgiveness establishes divine order as the healing power of God at work in every part of our being, every part of our lives, and reveals the perfect and radiant beings that we already are. I think Michelangelo had a really hard time with this one. He was a really negative man because he didn't really like himself very much. And I think he was bitter about a lot of people who were disappointments to him in his life. His mother died very young. His father and brothers did not respect him at all. All they did was demand money from him. Early on, he said that he had never had anything because his father demanded that he give him all the money he ever had. The Medici family there, he had a patron in the family. When that one died, the family threw him over and said, "We don't need you anymore." The other artists in town were so jealous of him. He had internalized homophobia going, and he has a lot of things that were just felt glommed onto himself, and he felt less than as a person. He piled bitterness on after bitterness that may have spurred his art on, but it created a soul of unhappiness and bitterness his whole life. So using the tools of forgiveness and release, we can create a life of success, of joy, of health, of creativity, and having the life that you came to live fully. So these three steps will allow us to create the divine artistry in our lives. Number one, we remove clutter, we remove junk. Number two, we remove the emotional clutter within that's in the way of you having your success. And number three, we remove blame. Unforgiveness. This is the way we clean out, we release, we knock off the part that is not us and let the full divine you shine forth. It's been proven that creative expression and prayer actually come from the same area of the brain. So when you are creating, you are in effect praying. When you're painting or baking or sewing or singing, whatever it is that your art is, you are in effect praying. You are letting the creativity of God flow forth, and you're healing your life simply by being a creative person. You have a more relaxed nervous system. You have a better balanced hormonal system, a greater resistance to pain, and an improved ability to withstand emotional challenges, both by praying and by creating. It's the same energy. It's the same energy. All that by having fun and living like we did when we were 5 years old. Remember when you were five, how much fun it was? It was so much fun. Well, why should it be any different today? It really isn't. As Jesus said, you shall become a child again if you want to inhabit, create, inherit the kingdom, the realm, the allness of God within you. So unless you're going to become joyful, loving, happy, creative, then we're not living the life that we were meant to. We have to create. What is your art? So many people tell me, oh, so I really dislike this question now or this comment. I say, you're a creative being. I don't have any talent. Bull. There is no person without talent. You have a talent for something. You probably have a talent for a lot of things you just have never explored. Explore them this week. What would you like? Take a spinning class. Take a pottery class. Do something that would be a lot of fun for you. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Get a coloring book. If nothing else, buy a coloring book at the dollar store and go to town. Go outside the lines. Have a great time. You simply have buried your talent inside of you. That's all. That's all you've done. So there is a step four. Find your talent. Find the talent that will give you a lot of fun, that will give you a lot of joy this week. Find that hidden David within you. It's there. You just have to knock off what is not you. Get rid of it. Let it go. Again, eliminate from your life that which does not work for you this week, and by the end of the week, you will be a lighter, happier, more joyful person. I want you to close your eyes. Breathe into your heart. What do you need to let go of? I want you to picture your apartment, your home. Picture what you've got that does not work anymore. Throw out the 8-tracks. They are not coming back. Picture them out the window. Where in the world would you love to go? Study that language. Just learn a few words. Picture Italy in your mind. Now picture walking up to a gorgeous man or woman and not being able to talk outside of Dove A. McDonald's. No. See yourself walking up to that person and saying, Bella donna, bel uomo, ti voglio bene, or whatever comes to your mind. Picture yourself at 5 years old. Put that 5-year-old on your lap and tell him, I forgive you. I forgive you. Together, I forgive you. Again, I forgive you. One more time. I forgive you. Hold yourself close. This is a beautiful, innocent God being. You were never condemned, only by you. Breathe into your heart. You, the divine artist, you're the only tool that God has for creating your life. Let go of what is not you. Breathe into your heart as we begin our meditation process of singing, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, all that God is. Continue holding that 5-year-old that you are, seeing yourself as perfect, beautiful. See you as God sees you.
I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful.
For all that I am,
I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful. I am so blessed
for all that God is. A little quieter.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is.
breathe into your heart. And in your mind's eye, like a movie screen, let spirit reveal a moment that you have been holding against yourself. The moment that you have not been able to forgive or let go of. It may be painful, but you're in a safe place. And this is only a memory that can't harm you anymore. So let it come forth gently, easily, holding your 5-year-old self on your lap. And allowing God to reveal what you need to let go of today. In divine detachment, just watch the scene, knowing that you are blameless, that you've never been condemned by God, that this was simply a mistake. Feel compassion for that person you see in front of you. Compassion for everybody if there are other people there. And see this scene as God does. God sees you as the perfect being of love that you truly are, regardless of what happened here. You are not condemned. You are loved eternally. And now let yourself off the hook. Affirm quietly within, I forgive myself for this error. I forgive myself for this error. Breathe into your heart. I am free. I am completely loved by the universe. I am loved, regardless of what I've done, what I haven't done, what I said or didn't say. Where there was fear, there's only joy. See everybody in this situation as a teacher. See what happened as a teachable moment. How much have you learned about you through this? And now let it go. Bless what you saw. Bless the child on your lap. Because this is still you. This 5-year-old is still inside you. Joyful, creative, loving. Healthy, simply in the flow of life, light, and love. You are the perfect love of God. God couldn't love you anymore. God couldn't love you any less. The power of divine love flows through you, healing your body and your mind. Divine love heals me now. Breathe that truth in. Divine love heals me now. Feel any tension or any pain or ache, let go into the divine flow of love. Divine love prospers me, brings success into my life. As you love what you do, that love is returned and multiplied 1,000, 1,000,000-fold if you are open and receptive. Divine love guides my life. I know what to do and how to do it. My path is made clear, simple, successful. Breathe into your heart, into the quiet. Allow divine love to reveal the truth. I am divine love. I am forgiven. I am love itself. Breathe in and let go. Take a deep breath and let go. You are a different person now than you were an hour ago. You are the true, spiritual, beautiful, radiant child of God you've always been. I joyously participate in the orderly unfoldment of good, health, abundance, love. And for this realization, we are so grateful. And so it is.